But tonight I'm excited. I'm going to talk about something that the Lord has been challenging me on, especially now over the holidays. We had a great time. It's so wonderful to go to a place where you can see something called the sea. You know, here in Bloemfontein, we don't see waves. I don't know, we've got heat waves here in the summer, and I don't know what waves in the winter, but you don't see those nice waves, you know, that you can dive through and have nice times in. So we had a great time in Natal. But yeah, we got sick halfway through our holiday as well, which wasn't too cool. And Matthew was sick as well, and you know, when he gets a stomach bug, then you know, things come out the top very quickly and easily and so on. So we had a lot of cleaning up to do at times, and on the way back through Moy River, we stopped at the engine there, and he's now hungry because he hasn't really eaten a lot the last few days, and he's now hungry and he's keen to eat some chips, and so he eats chips and starts stuffing himself, and then eventually I can see he's not comfortable and he's like, starts to cry, and I just say, "Lovey, take him to the bathroom quickly." Because here comes another one, and she's like rustic like that, and I'm thinking, take him to the bathroom quickly, and she picks him up, and there, he gets sick all over the floor there, and the wimpy and stuff. Luckily, there weren't any customers there, but, you know, so these storms, the challenges of a holiday don't end. You know, you think you're just going to have a peaceful holiday, and then you get sick, and your wife gets sick, and you complain, and your son is sick, and so on. But anyway, it was interesting, because I was challenged a little bit in terms of just the little storm that I was going through, and my own frustrations with being sick and wanting to just swim in the sea, and I was down with flu and my body was sore and I had stomach flu and everything. So, but I was a little bit challenged in terms of how am I handling this thing, you know, because I believe who's gone through a storm in your life, like not the average Christian, normal laying down your life thing. I'm just talking about a real storm, a real challenge in your life. Has anyone these last few weeks or months been going through some serious stuff? Just be honest, just raise your hand, because this morning I know I was preaching to the right crowd, because lots of people have been going through challenges in church, and I know it's the right word for us, because I believe it's an encouraging word as to how to come to this place of spiritual maturity and how to handle the peace many times that gets stolen from you, or the peace that seems to go out the window because the storm in your life just seems to be the focus. And I want to talk, well, I want to first of all ask you, when you're facing this challenge, and maybe you're not facing a challenge now, but when you're the last time you faced a storm or a challenge or a trial in your life, how did you handle it? And how did you react? And were you happy with your reaction to the way things panned out? Because I'm looking at myself, I wasn't too happy with how I reacted. And, you know, when things get, especially in a marriage, you know, when things get tough, then you sort of blame your wife and you complain and you say, everything that goes wrong, you sort of want to blame it on her, and then she starts to blame you, and things get a bit tough sometimes. But it's good, because God wants us to grow through these things. And so, I just want to show you a quick video clip, because many times, when the storms come, what do? We do like babies do, we sort of throw our toys out the cot. When we're not feeling too well, we tend to throw our toys out the cot. So, just have a look at this video clip, and have a look at how, what it looks like when someone throws their toys out the cot, but they're not really supposed to throw their toys out the cot. You see, because when you're a baby, that's kind of the thing you do. It's okay to do that when you're a baby. It's okay to throw your toys out the cot and to throw tantrums when you're a baby. When you're an adult, when you're mature, it's not really okay. It's not really appropriate to do what this guy does. Okay, so let's have a look at this video clip.
No mistakes so far in this match, right? You have an overall eight. No mistakes whatsoever.
Second stuff, yes.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Kurt Bailington, verbal abuse, point, Mr. McEnroe.
Thank you.
about the match. He's the
game
coming
tomorrow.
That's it? It's only a game?
No, it's game coming. One more go.
Can I have this person taken out of the show?
No, because I don't see anything wrong with it.
You've been watching the match, Ken?
Yes, I have.
You couldn't really see it now in the dark, but you should have seen that umpire, how he got sort of getting worried the closer that McEnroe got and so on. But anyway, you know, that, would you say now that is age-appropriate behavior? Okay, not really at all. Okay, you see, that is many times what happens in the spirit with us, is we tend to throw tantrums when we don't really need to, okay? It just talks about a little bit of immaturity, especially emotional immaturity. And tonight, I just want to talk a little bit about spiritual maturity, which is very much connected and should be connected to emotional maturity. Because you see, many times we don't connect the two. We think, okay, we're spiritually mature, but emotionally we're not really mature. Emotionally, it's okay to be immature as long as we're spiritually mature and we're going for it and we connect with God. And it's not like that, because emotional maturity many times determines whether we're spiritually mature or not. And it's like, for instance, I don't know if you've ever gone to a restaurant and there's this guy sitting in the corner and he's like this very successful CEO and he's wildly successful in what he does, but he's now going to use this opportunity to rant and rave about all the stuff that has gone wrong and he's not having a good day and he's had a bad day and he's just shouting and going on and just, you know, letting it all out there in the restaurant. And you just kind of want to go to him and say, listen, yeah, you know, this is not only you that's here, we're all here. It's not your restaurant. You don't have to now carry on like this. Just eat your food and be quiet. You know, it's that type of behavior where someone is very successful in a certain area, but yet he seems to just not be able to cope with the emotional maturity needed at the time. And I believe the Lord wants to speak to us specifically about this thing, because too often we're thrown by circumstances. We're thrown by emotions. We're thrown by our own reactions to certain people close to us often. And God wants us to grow to this level. And it's fine if you're a baby in Christ. If you're a baby Christian, you can throw your toys, you can get emotional, it's fine. But when we grow in Christ, when we grow to maturity, it's not necessarily fine to shout and scream and rant and rave at God. And we'll see now a specific story of how certain people reacted and how God wanted them to react. But you see, it's all about growing to this place where God can share His heart with us. You see, and many times we're not at that place yet. God wants to trust us with nations and with cities and with amazing things, but He cannot trust us yet because we're so emotionally unstable. We react to every storm that comes our way. We react to every tribulation and every trial, and we don't have that peace. And I don't know about you, but you know, when your peace goes out, it's just the worst feeling. You just want your peace back, and God wants us to be at that place of peace all the time. We don't have to lose our peace. But why do we lose our peace? We'll have a look at that tonight. And you see, there's different levels. If you look at the natural level in terms of maturity, there's different levels of maturity, in the natural and in the spiritual. There's, first of all, the infant. When you're born, you're a little baby, you need to do certain things, you can't do certain things, your mother needs to do them for you. And that's fine. That's fine for infancy. There's certain things that you can't do and don't have to do, and that's cool for infancy. And then you grow to become a child. Then you've got to sort of also start to do things and take a little bit more responsibility. But you don't have to drive a car yet. You don't have to fall in love yet. You do certain things as a child and you grow to that level. Then you start to become a young person and you get romantically involved and you fall in love and you experience all these emotions. But you also obviously have to take more responsibility. And then you become a father or a mother where you have your own children. And you have these levels of maturity which life takes us through. And it's amazing how Jesus wasn't just... You know, He wasn't just given you like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the first people, didn't grow through these things. They were perfect people. But Jesus, God sent the second Adam to be like us, to grow through. He was a baby, born just like us, had to go through these stages of maturity. And you see, it's just a sign to us that spiritually we need to grow through these phases. And I believe that our discipleship, and we're very excited about the new Encounter series. Our foundation name is going to change to the Encounter series. It's no longer going to be called the Foundations. And in Encounter 3, the old Foundation 3, the Legacy, we're going to deal with a lot of deeper stuff here, because we believe in our discipleship that we haven't really got people through the proper process of discipleship. We expect people to go from zero to hero in no time, and they haven't learned to go through these stages of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And if you go from a baby to a father, you know, you don't know how to grow through these things, and you're suddenly left with all this responsibility and you've never grown into it. And we believe that we've failed a little bit in terms of, and this is coming from Fred now, in terms of our discipleship, and he's very excited, and we're very excited to see how God is going to use this new encounter series to change lives and to grow us and to make us real disciples of Jesus Christ, emotionally, very specifically now. Because we've succeeded in lots of things, but many times emotionally, we're not growing people to this place of maturity. And so we're very excited about all these stages. And you're going to do the Encounter 3, and we're going to ask you to become facilitators, because this process is going to need a lot more facilitation, a lot more walking a path with people. And so I'm trusting that all of us who have done the legacy already will just become facilitators, and you'll walk your own path and work through this stuff with us. But we're going to see a lot of spiritual infants coming into the body of Christ. We're going to see a lot of babies, a lot of broken people coming into the body of Christ who need wholeness, who need healing, and who need to go through these processes of growth. And you see, ultimate maturity is that place when we see Jesus again. None of us are ultimately mature. We're growing to that place, but we need to still become fathers. We need to become adult maturity levels of adults. Even though we're not perfect, we're going to be far from perfect, but we still need to grow to this place where we can become mature in Christ. And so I want to look at this scripture from Romans chapter 5, just looking at this growth process which Paul writes about here. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amazing, yeah, he talks about the born-again experience. And he says, when you've been justified, when you've been born again, you've accepted Jesus Christ and you're a Christian, you can have peace with God. He says, yeah, we can have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You have peace with God." And he says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So yeah, he's talking about the end goal of it, the glory of God. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be made whole. We're going to be made complete one day when Jesus comes back to fetch us, and that's called glorification. We've got this hope that we're going to be made perfect. And so Paul writes here and he says, first of all, you're justified by faith. When you're born again, you can be excited because guess what? You can have peace with God and you don't have to lose that peace. You can have that peace and you don't have to lose it because Jesus died for your sins. Jesus made a way for you. And then he says, we also rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But then he says, yeah, in between this phase of being born again, where salvation starts and the whole glorification ending or the completion of your salvation, between these two things, these events that happen, there's this whole process which is called sanctification, the whole process of maturity, of coming to maturity. And he says the following, he says, not only do we rejoice in the fact that we've been saved and justified and we have peace and we're also excited about the hope of the glory of God, not only these two, but we also glory in tribulations. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how do we handle the tribulations and the trials that come across our path. Because he says we can glory in these tribulations. Did you know that? Are you glorying in the storm that you're going through? Are you glorying in the challenge that you're going through right now? Do you experience this as a positive thing, or is it always negative? Because this is challenging me a lot. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So Paul writes here and he says, in between there's this process which we all have to go through, the process of life. We've got to grow. And if we grow with Christ, it's the most exciting adventure that you can be on. Can anyone say amen? Those of you who've been walking a path with the Lord, it's exciting. It's challenging. It's amazing. But will you embrace it? And Paul says you can. You can glory in the fact that when tribulations come, something is going to happen in your life if you embrace it. He says the following, tribulation produces in you an ability to persevere, an ability to overcome, an ability to go through any trial that comes across your life. So he says glory in that. Glory, get excited when tribulations come. Get excited when life gets tough sometimes, because knowing that trial, that tribulation in you produces a character, produces a perseverance in you. And then he says the perseverance will produce in you character. It will produce in you a maturity, produce in you an ability to be able to handle the things that God wants for you. Because God is looking for character, guys and ladies. Did you know that God is looking for character? He's not looking for ability. He's not looking for how anointed you are. He's simply looking for the heart, the character that is formed in you. God wants to send us to the nations. And that's why I want to say, these, all of us who are going on missions, we are going to have some challenges. Okay, Mozambique team, Uganda team, this is not just to be negative, but we're going to have challenges, okay? And I'm excited about it, because I know we're all going to grow through it. If we don't have challenges, we might as well just go on holiday. Okay, even my holiday was a challenge. It's not like I'm going on a mission or anything, but hey, there we have some challenges, you know. Life is just full of it. And we can either get negative about it, or we can embrace it and say, God, do in me what you want to do. But life is full of these challenges, and it's exciting. You see, and then there's a hope that's produced in us. When this character is formed and we come to this place of maturity, we know and we glory in the fact that there's a hope. We don't have to lose hope ever. We know that there's a hope that's steadfast. God is coming back. Jesus is coming to save us and make our salvation complete. Isn't that amazing? And then he carries on and just says, hope does not disappoint, because we have the love of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the agent for this whole process of sanctification. We cannot be sanctified without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to sanctify us and to keep us sane. Otherwise, this process is going to be crazy. It's going to kill us. But you see, the Holy Spirit is our encourager. The Holy Spirit is our hope. And He gives us the ability to go through this. So life is exciting. This whole process of growth becomes exciting. But I want to look at another story now. I want to look at, when we talk about this whole process of tribulation and going through challenges, why do we always lose our peace? We must be honest, we do lose our peace. We lose our cool, okay? Not maybe as extreme as McEnroe did, but we lose our cool many times, okay? When the storms come. So why do we do that? So I want to just look at the story from Mark chapter 4. Most of us know it. The disciples are in the boat and the storm comes. And so from verse 35, it says from the New Living Translation, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, take a note, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go. They didn't decide to go. Jesus said, let us cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Doesn't that sound a lot like life? You know, you go through life, you go to another place, you cross over and suddenly storms come. There's challenges. You make a move for God, you follow Jesus, you get into the boat with Him, and what happens? Storms come. Has anyone experienced that in your walk with the Lord? Storms happen. It's a reality. And then what happens? Listen to this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. And not only does He say He was sleeping at the back, which is probably the place you would get most nauseous at if you were in a storm, the back of the boat, but He wasn't only sleeping, He was sleeping with His head on a cushion. Can you believe that? I mean, He brought His nice cushion with Him that He could sleep and be able to just be so comfortable on this boat. Don't you think Jesus was prepared for something? Jesus was prepared to sleep through the storm. He was not shaken by the storm, but He was prepared to sleep very comfortably, not only on a hard boat, but on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then He asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Not do you have, you know, 99% faith, where your faith isn't quite 100%. He says, no, you don't seem to have any faith. And the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey. So I want to ask the question again, why do we lose our peace many times when the storms come? Why did the disciples in the story lose their peace? And you know, many times we preach this thing and we just talk about the miracle and how Jesus calmed the storm and everything. But actually the point of the story is that Jesus was pretty upset that the disciples woke Him up. And He did what He had to do. He calmed the storm and He brings peace wherever He goes. That's just who Jesus is. But He was a little bit upset that the disciples didn't take authority and didn't realize what He was trying to do with them. The fact that He brought a cushion to sleep on. He was pretty comfortable with just sleeping in this boat. And so why did the disciples lose their peace? Why did they get so panic struck? Why did they have to wake Him up instead of doing what they were supposed to do? First of all, I believe many times why we lose our peace is we don't fully trust God. Even though He's in our boat, He's in our boat. He's in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. The disciples in this case did not trust that all would be okay, even though Jesus was in the boat. They didn't trust him. And you see, many times we panic when every little storm comes. Even though we Christians, we have Jesus in our heart, we seem to panic unnecessarily. And I want to say to you tonight, if Jesus isn't in your heart, if he isn't in your boat, then you do have reason to panic. Okay, that's why you're here tonight. Then you just can say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to know you, because I'm trying to go through life without you in my boat. And that is a very scary place. Then you have reason to panic. Okay, but if you have Jesus in your boat, there is no need to panic, especially if you've grown to this place where the disciples were at. They had walked with Jesus a little bit. They should have known a few things about him. They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him move in a few wonderful ways. And yeah, he seemed to be sleeping very comfortably on a pillow, but still they were shaken. And so if you're a baby Christian, if you're an infant in the spirit, that's fine. You can panic. Jesus is going to come to help you before you've even pressed the panic button. But if you walk with him and you've learned a few things about him, you've grown to a certain level of maturity, there isn't reason for us to panic. So I want to say to you tonight, if he's in your boat, if you know Jesus, he's still in your boat. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, if you know Jesus, he's in your boat. The second one, why the disciples panicked, and why many times we also do the same, is because they did not know the will of God in that situation. They did not know what God wanted to do in the situation. You see, the disciples did not know that Jesus was actually testing them. That is why he slept. That is why he was very comfortable with sleeping until they got to the other side, because he had a certain thing that he was trying to do with them. He was testing whether they really had faith or not. He was testing whether they could really cope with the situation on their own. And you see, many times it's not about whether we can cope with the situation. Many times it's simply knowing the will of God. What is the will of God in your storm right now? What is the will of God for your life? You see, that we lose our peace because we don't know the will of God for the situation. And it's the same with the disciples. They didn't quite understand. They reacted as soon as they saw the storm. They weren't at that place where they could see God was trying to do something here, because Jesus was with them. He hadn't left them. He hadn't forsaken them. And number three, why do we lose our peace? Why do the disciples lose their peace? Well, it's simply because of a combination of the above two. They didn't take responsibility. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to speak to the storm. They were supposed to take authority over the storm. They had grown to a level of not perfection, but they had a level of maturity in them where Jesus had already said to them, it's time for you to start speaking to the storms. It's your storm. If it was my storm, I would have been there. I would have been awake. But you know what? I'm sleeping because I just wanted you to see something here. You were supposed to speak to the storm. And he gave them a chance, but he wasn't shaken. He knew people are people and they'll grow. They'll get there sometime. But you see, they didn't trust him. They didn't know what his will was. And so they woke him up in a panic. Jesus, Jesus, help us. We don't know what's going on here. You see, this talks simply about a lack of emotional maturity in certain situations. Our lack of emotional maturity results in us not taking responsibility like we're supposed to take. And God requires this of us. And it's exciting. It's a journey that we're all going on. But I believe God wants us to grow to this place where our emotions don't get in the way. Our emotions don't determine whether we're going to have peace or not. Jesus is in our boat, and we should have peace just because he's in our boat. Isn't that amazing? How do we learn to keep our peace? That's the next question. Okay, great. We've seen the disciples panicked and everything, but what lessons can we learn out of this place? And this is where it really gets to the crunch, because this is where we need to respond. First of all, we need to learn what David understood. And many times he writes in the Psalms, and Psalm 46 verse 10 says the following, the first part, be still and know that I am God. There's this place that we need to learn of solitude and silence. And guess what? We live in such a world where solitude and silence, or not solitude, but silence, stillness just doesn't exist. We've got phones, we've got iPads, we've got tablets, we've got computers, we've got everything, music playing in the background, everything. There's noise, noise, noise all the time. People calling you, phoning you. You've got hundreds of Facebook friends, Twitter, You know, you try and keep up with this noise of life, and you know, it just drives you crazy. And there's very little time for peace. There's very little time for quiet. If you get quiet, you just want to sleep because it's so busy. And how often do we get still? And I'm not talking now about quiet times, which aren't quiet, okay? Because many times, yes, I'm having a quiet time, but there's the noise is all in your head and you can't focus. I don't know about you, but you know, many times for me to have a quiet time, it takes discipline. And this is where it starts. It's not about the few minutes that you put apart, the hour or so you put apart to spend with God. It starts before that. It starts at this place of just getting your own mind and your own emotions to this place of peace. You see, we need to shut down the distractions and the storms in our mind and in our emotions. That's where the storms are. It's not about the storms being on the outside. It's the storms that we're born into. We're all born in iniquity. We're born in sin, and therefore there are always going to be storms in our lives. And to keep those storms quiet is the first challenge. We need to know that Christ is in our boat and be blessed with the fact that He's there. We don't need to bother Him. He's there. He's happy to be in our hearts. We need to be at peace with the fact that He's there. David says in Psalm 4 verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. You see, yeah, it's this place where we need to recognize our emotions. So he says, I know I'm angry, and guess what? I better not sin now because I'm going to be tempted to sin. It's so easy to sin when you're angry. I mean, what's the first thing you do when you're angry? I heard some quote on, I don't know if it was Facebook or whatever, saying that if you talk when you're angry, you're going to make the best speech that you're going to regret in your life. You know, so that's what the Bible says. When you're angry, rather be quiet. Just get onto your bed and just, you know, speak to yourself. Okay, that's the next point. We'll look at that just now. But first of all, before we even talk to ourselves, we need to be still, recognize our emotions and how to deal with them. We need to know what emotions are going on in our lives now. What is the root of this emotion? Why am I reacting like this? And then to deal with it, to ask God and trust God to show you. But you see, if we don't learn silence, we cannot trust God. And that was the first thing that the disciples didn't do, is trust God that the storm would be okay. And they panicked, and that's what we do. Why? Because we live in this busy world, and we're running after many things, running after everything else to fill the gaps, but the silence. How difficult it is. I mean, let's be honest. How difficult is it to just be quiet? Even in a prayer meeting, even in a worship thing, we've always got to be doing something, jumping up and down, dancing, and that's not a bad thing. But how difficult it is for us to come into a place of just peace and silence. Be still and know that I'm God, David says. Be angry. Do not sin. Be still. Meditate on your heart. Within your heart, meditate. And be still. Solitude and silence. That's the first thing. And that talks about this whole thing of examination, self-examination, looking at in yourself and seeing where is the problem? Where does the root lie? And this is all talking about this place where we're coming to God. We're not even speaking to God yet. We're just self-examination, looking at ourselves. Second one. David did this amazingly. It starts to get weird. You need to start to talk to yourself. Okay? This seems like madness, but you need to talk to yourself. The Bible says, listen to what David writes in Psalm 116, the Message Bible. He writes the following, I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. So he speaks to his soul. Specifically, he speaks to his soul. And then he starts to speak to his other body parts. He says, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, you were kept from stumbling. So whatever you've got to do, if you've got to be like David and speak to specific parts of your body, then do that. But do whatever you've got to do to speak to yourself and to tell yourself, it's okay, God is in control. God is good. Like Tian said at the beginning, you know, God does only good. He only produces good. But speak to yourself and tell yourself, be still. And then the Matt Redman song that we often sing from Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is not speaking to God. David is here speaking to his soul. He's saying, O my soul, you better bless the Lord now. And everything that is within me, body, mind, and spirit, you better start to bless the Lord. Why? Because he's a holy name. He's got a holy name. And you better not forget all his benefits. And then he goes on to list all the benefits of God. He's forgiven your sins. He's healed your diseases. He's just such an awesome God. But we need to start to talk to ourselves and talk to our emotions and talk to our storms, just like David did. So you need to discover your secret place. And wherever that could be, and to get a secret place these days is difficult. Okay, we're busy people. We're running around. So whether it's to wake up early, whether it's in your car, okay, we don't live in Joburg, so we don't drive 2 hours in traffic, but I guess those people have to do their quiet times in the traffic because, you know, that's a lot of time. But wherever you get your quiet place, I can't believe, I can't think the quiet place in that traffic would be a quiet place, but anyway. But we need to get a place where you can just be still with God and start to speak to yourself. And start to allow the Lord to minister to you before you even worship Him, before you even have your quiet time. But you need to speak to yourself and start to learn that place of silence. And this is all about preparation. So I want to say to you tonight, when we do this stuff, this is preparation for worship. This is not even connecting with God yet. This is just preparing yourself. Because if we want to be mature, if God wants to do things in our lives, He wants us to come to this place of maturity where we can do this. And it's just because we've grown to this place of maturity. It's because we understand how to keep our peace. Number three, this is where it gets, where we start to connect with God. We present ourselves. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, when we're a baby, you don't need to come very prepared. You just come as you are. When you're a spiritual infant, you come as you are. And that's why we tell people, just come as you are. Come to the Lord, worship God, receive God, come forward, just come as you are. You don't have to work out your, wash your sins away yourself. God is going to do that. Come as you are when you're a baby. But you see, when you grow to the certain level of maturity, it's not acceptable to just come as you are. You can't just come and burp and, you know, just come very casually to God and do all the baby things anymore. You've got to come to God prepared. Why? Because He wants to share amazing things with you. He wants to share His secrets with you. He wants to share His heart with us. But many times we've been walking with God, but no, we're still infants in the spirit, in emotion. Because we come with all our emotions and all our baggage. And God, I'm not keen for church tonight. I'm not keen for intercession. It's so early, God. Can't wake up early. I'm not feeling so well, God. It's all about my feelings. You know, you hear that thing about how do you feel? That's the big one. How do you feel about it? God is not into that when it comes to our maturity. He wants us to grow to this place where we're not feeling driven anymore, not emotionally driven. We're driven by the purposes of God. But that's going to only happen when we grow to this place of maturity, you see. So we need to be like David and prepare ourselves, bring the right attitude to God, humble ourselves and our own emotions. God doesn't want to do this to us. God does not want us to say, we must never ask God, God, humble me, please. Don't ever pray that prayer. God is so big, there won't be anything left of you if He has to humble you. He says, humble yourself. Come to God and tell your emotions, be still now. Soul, be still. It's time to worship God. Emotions, this is not time for you to stand up now. It's time for the Spirit to stand up and worship God in spirit and in truth. And it's like some people, have you heard people praying before a meal? You know, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. God, please make us thankful for this food. You know, and God says, look, I'll give the food, but you give the thankfulness, okay? Let's make a deal here, okay? But you know, we can't ask God, God, make us thankful. No, you just be thankful. Okay, I know I'm not knocking anyone here. I know people who pray that prayer, okay? But I know their relationship with God as well, okay? I know they're not there where God wants them to be. Because I used to pray that prayer before I got saved. But when I got saved, I said, God, thank you for everything. Thank you for my meal. I thank you, God. I choose to thank you. Don't make me thankful, God. I'm already thankful. I don't need to ask you to make me thankful or anything, God. You've done amazing things for me. I'm simply thankful. I come to you and I humble myself and I'm a worshiper, God, because you are God and I'm not. But you see, we need to grow to this place of maturity where we present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Last scripture this evening. James 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Isn't this amazing? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing this, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith, the trial that you're going through, the test that you're going through produces patience in you. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This talks about this ultimate place of maturity, where we're complete and perfect. And that's only going to happen one day, but up until then, we need to come to this place where patience has its perfect work in us, and that we can be at this place of maturity. And so I want to say to you this evening, the storms that you're going through and the storms that you will go through and that I will go through, how are we going to handle them differently? How are we going to handle it tomorrow when we wake up? And you know, it's just amazing, since God has been ministering this word to me, you know, just after the holiday, because in this holiday it was felt like, yeah, I just reacted to stuff, and it was just like frustrating having the whole family sick and I'm sick. But you know, just today, like this morning, like Caitlin decides she's going to now get sick and everything. And Shay, I mean, poor Hester, she just like, just before church now, she just throws up her food and everything. But I just experienced this place of peace where I just decided I'm not going to let this worry me. I'm not going to let this stress me out now, because I've got to preach a sermon. I've got to go to church. And so things get challenging when you've got kids around. Okay, babies, spiritual babies will also be very challenging. And that's why many times we don't receive spiritual babies, because it's too hard work. The discipleship is too hard to walk with this person that's smoking and drinking, and they've given their lives to Jesus, but they don't seem to follow him properly, so we just leave them. No, you know, it's okay. You just work out your own salvation. But we're not excited to receive spiritual babies yet. And that's this place of maturity God wants to get us to, where we fathers, mothers, where we look after people, look after infants. But we need to be at this place of peace, because guess what? They're going to shake us. And there's a harvest of people coming into the church, okay? Can anyone say amen? There's a harvest of souls coming in, but they're not going to come in mature. Okay, if we want the real lost people out there, they're not going to come in all cool like us, all religious like us, okay? They just need a few, maybe a Holy Spirit baptism here and there, and they'll change the world. No, they'll come with lots of issues. They'll vomit quite a few times spiritually now. They're going to get sick a lot, okay? They're going to backslide a few times as well. But are we still, do we have a heart for them? Are we going to love them? And is our own maturity going to be a bit challenged by them? Yes, it will be. But God is excited about these people, and God wants us to get excited about them. But he's going to take us through trials first, that we can be at this place where we mature, where we complete, lacking nothing. And are we ready for it? Are we willing to embrace this place of the Christian life? Are we willing to embrace trials and tribulations? Because guess what? In conclusion, I want to say this evening, the trials and tribulations will always cause growth in us. Okay, it's going to make us grow, but guess what? The time factor is up to us. Has anyone been going through the same stuff over and over again? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. Okay, but who? I mean, if you've been going through the same stuff over and over again, guess what? God is also trying to tell you something. It's time to start speaking to that storm now. He's not going to do it for you. You're old enough, you're mature enough, where you... And it's going to take you a very long time to get where God wants to get you, unless you start to take up the responsibility to speak to that storm. You see, it's going to cause growth in us, but God wants us to come to a place where he can trust us with the true riches, families, cities, nations. Just like Abraham, when he spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I'm going to call you my friend because you have been prepared to sacrifice your son. But you know, sometimes we jump around and sing, I'm a friend of God, but we don't understand what it means to be a friend of God. That's that place of maturity. That place where God could trust Abraham and say, I can trust you with nations. You're going to be the father of many nations. I can trust you. And can God trust us with the true riches that is on his heart? We need to become emotionally mature and therefore spiritually mature as well. Let's all close our eyes this evening as the band comes forward. Father, we just want to thank you for your great love for us, Lord. Thank you that you want to affirm each and every person in this hall this evening, God. Thank you for your peace right now that surpasses understanding, Lord. Even as we're in your house tonight, that we can experience your peace, your touch on our lives, Lord, that is never changing, Lord. Never different, never better one day or more the one day, less the other day. Your peace is the same, Lord. The same peace that we experienced when we gave our lives to the Lord for the first time. When we gave our lives to you, Lord, and we were so excited because we just knew nothing else but Jesus. And Lord, tonight we also want to come to that place where we know nothing else but the peace of Jesus who's in our boat. And so we thank you that you're in our boat, Lord. We thank you that you want to take us to this place of maturity where you can trust us, Lord. Because, Lord, we don't even trust you many times, but you so badly want to trust us. But if we cannot trust you, Lord, then how's the relationship going to work? And we thank you for your long-suffering for us. Thank you that you take us through storms and trials and tribulations for our good, Lord. Not to make life difficult for us, not to make life unhappy for us, Lord, to make life more Christ-like for us, Lord. Thank you that you give us a capacity to handle things differently. Even from tonight onwards, Lord, I thank you for speaking to all of us through this word, Lord, that you want us to handle things differently tomorrow and the next day. Lord, even though we fail again and again, you just continue to be patient with us. You continue to help us to grow. And I thank you for the different levels of maturity that are in this room, Lord. Some people have just come to you, Lord. Some people have just discovered your power and your grace. Some people have been walking with you many years. And you speak to each of us exactly where we're at, Lord. There's no one different. There's no one more special. You speak to us how you know best.